This is the Pro Hockey West Report, brought to you by Toyota. Support the dealers that support hockey in your community for your next car. Desert Toyota in Tucson, Peterson Toyota in Fort Collins, Toyota of the Desert in Cathedral City, California, and Finlay Toyota in Las Vegas. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. Find out how to go full Caesar. Visit Caesars.com for eligibility requirements. FedEx. Simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official shipping company of Ice Time Hockey West. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, award-winning barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. Visit us at jesseraysbarbecue.com. T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and see how you can lock in your rates forever. Jet's Pizza, with six different crusts and countless toppings, let your imagination go wild. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, an official partner of the NHL. The Pro Hockey West Report is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Stephen Marsh.
All right, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us tonight on the Podbean app on this Sunday evening. Scott Strandy with you in Ontario, California. My co-host, as always, from Las Vegas, Nevada. I changed it already for you, Stephen Marsh. I didn't say it. I didn't want to rub salt in the wound. How are you, Stephen?
Well, you could still call it the Vibrant City. I know you always like to call it Vibrant. It's maybe not as vibrant tonight, but it will be vibrant
it's
tomorrow.
It's a Vibrant City. It's always a Vibrant City. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll call it a Vibrant City.
Especially on Cinco de Mayo weekend here.
Of course. Well, it's the same way it was here in Ontario, by the way.
I bet.
Cinco de Mayo was rocking and rolling all over the Toyota Arena where I was at today. Like, get this. I've done a hockey game in person and interviews. I've done a one-hour show for our new series, the School of the Week for NCAA Hockey for the next 14 weeks. And now we're doing the Pro Hockey West Report. Okay, let's start right here.
It's nice that you have that. It's nice that you have that much time on your hands. That's good.
Yeah, isn't it though? It's called no sleep.
And a 3 p.m. game is nice because you still have a lot of your day left when you get out of the rink.
Oh, stop it!
What?
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Anyway,
You don't like 3 p.m. games?
I do, but they kind of mess my day up as far as doing other stuff. So,
Right. There's always tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that's what they say, right? we're going to start
tonight. There isn't tomorrow for the Golden Knights, though, title defense, though.
No, that ended. So we're going to start with the NHL tonight, and then we're going to wander on over to the AHL. There's some exciting AHL action going on. Goodness gracious. We inch closer to Steve, what I call the I-10 series. 79 miles from Toyota Arena to Akershire Arena.
You get familiar with that drive between the two places.
Yeah, that, my friend, would be really good for hockey in Southern California.
Yes, it would be, because the NHL clubs hockey right now is not living up to par, so it would be good for at least to have the AHL, some AHL teams having success, California, with contending for...
Okay. So I said, let's start with the NHL. So dive in. Let's talk about what happened tonight in the Game 7. What a series this was, though. I mean, win, lose, or draw, you got to look at it and go like, okay, this was a really good series because Vegas wins 2 on the road, which would be considered kind of improbable. Then Dallas comes and wins 2 in Vegas, which is improbable. It's back and forth, back and forth. Comes down to a Game 7. And I'm gonna let you take it from there because you're the embedded Vegas reporter.
Yes. Well, we can begin with a name called Wyatt Johnston, because I think he was a big factor in this series for the Dallas Stars, and it's funny because DeBoer. At one of the games, said I don't even think he's old. He's not even old enough to gamble in the casino, and he's getting these big time goals in the playoffs. But yeah, you know, overall, a 7-game series is always exciting. It actually It doesn't happen as often as you would think. It's, you know, we always talk about how great game sevens can be, and especially when you got two great teams. But a lot of times the series don't get to game sevens. A lot of times if they end, they end up in six. A team that is up 3-2 usually figures out a way to get it done in the seventh game. Although, don't ask Boston that though. They were up 3-1 and had to grind to take it all over in game seven and avoid a massive collapse for the second straight year there. But anyways, back to Vegas and Dallas. Yeah, this was about as close of a series as you could get. And, you know, you look at going in, you have the number one seed, Dallas, had a really great regular season, one of their best ever regular seasons, just a few points shy of the number one overall seed in the NHL, the President's Trophy, which obviously went to the New York Rangers. And so you know that they're going to have a lot of times if the number one team gets a favorable matchup. Well, it turns out they get the Vegas Golden Knights in their first round matchup, which, yes, Vegas was quote unquote an 8 seed or wild card 2, as it's now known. And you think, and obviously by regular season record, that was the case, but this was just not your typical wild card 2 team, especially with getting reinforcements back in time for the playoffs with Mark Stone. And I know there's a lot of happy people out there today to see them not make it through because of the Stone thing. But, you know, Stone and having these guys that they picked up at the deadline and getting a lot of the guys back that were big contributors in last year's playoff in time for the playoffs. And so they were already going to be a much better team than they were pretty much really a lot of this season. I mean, this season was a lot of ups and downs with injuries and stuff. And I'll get to what Cassie said post game in a minute, but you knew it was going to be a tough series. And yeah, and then Dallas loses the first two to Vegas and you think, oh, wow, this is Vegas has really just turned it up another notch. And then Dallas had enough of that and they go to Vegas and win two games in a tough road environment. And, you know, I think the familiarity with the two teams played a factor. I think the familiarity of DeBoer against Vegas, I think, played a factor. And he knows both sides of it, being with the Golden Knights for a few seasons and obviously coaching against them in big playoff series. And I think they didn't panic. Although it was kind of interesting because after game two, it almost kind of seemed like Dallas was down. It seemed like they were like, oh, you know, they're the champs. And I remember DeBoer saying, oh, they've got everybody figured out. It just didn't seem like they were kind of starting to feel like, are we ever going to be able to figure this team out? And then you get to Vegas and then they win the two games in Vegas. And now all of a sudden it's the other way around. And now all of a sudden they have all the confidence again. So it's kind of weird, but for a series, it was really close. I mean, every game, except for a couple of the games were one goal, although basically every game was one goal because a couple of those were empty netters that made it two goal games, but one goal games. And I think, you know, from Vegas's perspective, they were right there against a team that was really good all season long. And Vegas, who just kind of was up and down, you know, with having players in and out of the lineup. But even though you get the guys back, you've still got to get your mojo back. Players have to get kind of back into game shape. I mean, Mark Stone comes back from it's a major issue, you know, injury there with the lacerated spleen, had to have surgery on that, was out for some time. You know, Petrangelo down the stretch towards the end of the regular season had that appendicitis, so he was out for the rest of the regular season for the last few weeks of that. You know, you have Hurdle who comes in at the deadline, but he's coming off a knee surgery, so he has, you know, he's back. He gets to play the last few games of the regular season, but you're still trying to figure out line combinations and stuff. And Dallas, of course, was just kind of already has their team and what they are going into the playoffs. So, you know, despite all that, Vegas put up a heck of a fight, and it was a really close series. But, you know, ultimately, Dallas gets a couple of the bounces, and Vegas doesn't. I mean, you look at even tonight's game, Marchessault misses basically an open net, but he hits it off the post, and then Wyatt Johnston, you know, gets down the other way, and he gets the first goal of the game. And then even Eichel, I think it was in the second period late, he has a chance to get, makes a great move, gets around and the D, and it looked like he had Ottinger beat, but he misses on his shot and can't get it, bounces and he can't get in. And then I think the goal that they score to go ahead, you know, that I think goes off a Vegas player and ends up in the top corner there and in. So that was the Radek Vaska, who just came back into the lineup after he'd been out for an injury for the last few games. So it's crazy how this goes, but you know, Dallas was the number one team in the West for a reason, and they prevailed. And now they're going to have to move on to play Colorado, who's been sitting and waiting for the last few days.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is when you play playoff series like this, if you – and you mentioned it earlier that Dallas got a pretty unfavorable draw because I don't think Vegas was the eighth seed or wild card two or whatever you say. So by that part of it, they had a really tough battle. Now they get a Colorado team that's been waiting. If Colorado's goaltending – performs the way it did against the Jets, I think that's a really tough series for Dallas, and they've burnt a lot of energy in this series. So that will be interesting. Avalanche got by the Jets, and that's how they're in that position.
Yeah, they got by the Jets in five games, and that's now Dallas. Although Dallas gets to host the first two games, so that is the difference here is Colorado comes to them now and plays the first two games there as opposed to Vegas would have advanced. Vegas would have had to go to Colorado and play the first two games there, which would have been really tough because Vegas has this grueling seven-game series. They're already battling through. Carlson, we found out, and we knew this because of certain things that happened throughout the series. He wasn't at some morning skates, but he was still in the lineup. He wasn't taking a lot of draws, which he typically would do. And Cassie confirmed after he was battling with a lower body injury. He was playing through the best we can, and then you know he was playing a bit through it the best we can. And we'll probably find out over the next couple of days when they do their end of season stuff that there's probably several players that were still kind of battling through stuff. It always tends to be this time of year, but the Vegas would have had to go to Colorado and would have to go right into that altitude and play there. But Colorado gets to go to Dallas and play there. But Cassie did say after the game tonight too that nine players for Vegas at some point this season had surgery. So that's just crazy when you think about that. And I mean, you look at and I think I off the top of my head, you got Mark Stone, who had surgery this year, Petrangelo at some point, Eichel, Theodore, Hurdle, who wasn't with Vegas when he had the surgery, but obviously was when he recovered from it, Carrier, Whitecloud, probably Benton Hutton at some point, Carlson. They were all out at times this year and probably all had to have some kind of surgery. So that's a lot. That's a takes a toll. And Cassie probably said, too, that probably took his toll after a while. And, you know, this has kind of been an issue the last few years from Vegas. Last year, they were able to have a great get healthy for the playoffs. They were actually maybe the healthiest of the three seasons, but even still there last year, they kind of went through it a little bit, but managed to get through it okay and had a great run of the cup this year. It's different. It's different when you're the champions. It really is. And I think it's just another example of how tough it is to repeat in any of the sports. But hockey, I think, is especially tough because it's such a grind to get there, to win. When you go through those four rounds, 82 games, the four rounds, and win. And then you have a shorter off season, and then you come in, and you have to go through another 82-game schedule and make that run. And everyone's talking about, well, Tampa did it a few years ago. Yeah, I know Tampa did it. And kudos to them. They were a really good team. But it was different. It was during COVID. So it wasn't – the seasons weren't as – I mean, they had the break, then they went into the bubble for a few months, won that, and then there was a little bit of a break. But then they played a shortened season, and the schedules were a little bit different because it was like – the travel wasn't as extensive and everything, and the schedule wasn't as big. And then they had the playoffs that year. And then they kind of ran out of gas in the third year. But, you know, in this typical 82-game schedule and then playoffs, it's tough to repeat. And even if you look at the history, that Colorado the year before going into the following year, they get eliminated in the first round by Seattle, which was a surprise. But they get eliminated and dealt with some injuries the following year that they weren't as good. And now look at them. Now they're back to being – one of the teams that really could have a chance to win it again. And I think that could be Vegas next year. We'll see what the roster looks. There's probably going to be some changes, I'm sure. There's some expiring contracts. There's some stuff that's – there's going to be more changes this year in the offseason than there were last year. But if they can stay healthy, and we'll see what sort of additions and subtractions happen, though, Vegas could be in a position next year to be – you know, we've also seen teams win a cup in a year, not win – then come back the following year and win again. Kings did that in 2012 and 2014. They won 2 and 3 year span. Chicago won in 2010, 2013, and 2015. So they didn't win every year, but they kind of won three in a you know short period of time. So not to say Vegas can do that. So I mean, yeah, it's but to see a repeat champion is very very difficult. I think Pittsburgh would be the last that kind of did it under the normal model with the you know, 2016 and 2017. And that was, those were really good Pittsburgh teams. So that's a factor too, because you come in as champions, you come off winning, everybody's targeting you. You're the champs. Everybody wants to beat you. You know, Vegas going into this year that they win the cup, they had missed the playoffs. There was a lot on their shoulder. Like, they really, there was the year 16 with Foley. So there was a lot of motivation. This year, I'm sure they were still motivated. They wanted to do it again, but you know, with all the injuries and, you know, having won the year before, you, maybe there's not as much of a drive to do it. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there was, but you know, when it's different when you come into another season after you won than coming in after you've been close a lot of times and not gotten there and wanting to get there, and then you finally get there, and then how does that carry over to the season after you win?
Yeah, exactly. When you look at the matchup now, though, you've got Colorado and Dallas after Colorado took care of the Jets. That leaves a different matchup, because I think Vegas was a lot tougher matchup for Dallas than Colorado will be. Not to say that Colorado can't win this thing, because I think they can. And especially after wearing down a Dallas team that's definitely wore down, at least they're at home. But still, I mean, it's an emotional take. And just to kind of put a bow on that Dallas-Vegas series, Wyatt Johnson and the job that Pete DeBoer did moving him around with line mates, I said that before the game. When that line combination came out with Pavelski, Ben, and Johnston, I said, look out, because you just got two very heavy, brute strength, experienced wingers to let the young, skilled kid go to work. And what does Wyatt Johnston need? And he doesn't need much of it. Time and space. And two big wingers give him time and space. So don't be surprised if that's something that they continue to ride throughout the playoffs for as long as they're around. So Colorado, Dallas, the next matchup. The other side of the West.
The other thing about Dallas, too, is Ottinger. He's a really good goaltender. He's a very elite goaltender. I don't think he gets enough recognition for that. And he got better as the series went on. And I think last year, when you look at last year when Vegas played Dallas in the Western Final, it was later in the playoffs. Ottinger had played so much up to that point. I think he was even injured when going into that series, still played, but was obviously 100%. Now you had Ottinger, who was fully healthy going into the playoffs this year. So it was a much different circumstances there, and getting Dallas early instead of having to play Dallas later in the playoffs when you've gotten through some battle wounds at that point.
Yep, for sure. Vancouver gets rid of Nashville and advances. Oh, yeah, by the way, because they won and the Oilers took care of the Kings, it's now Vancouver and the Oilers. What a series that's going to be, because that's two completely different styles, right?
Yes, two completely different styles. And Vancouver's an interesting situation, because in that last series with Nashville, they had to go through three different goaltenders, starting with Demko, and then he gets out, and then they go to DeSmith, and he has a thing. And so then they go to Seelovs, and Seelovs is in there when they win it. So the series, so it's interesting. Then Edmonton, you know, they've got Skinner, but they've got a lot of offensive power, and yes, they get past the Kings for the third straight year in a row. It's almost like, so that's why it's so interesting, because you look at some of these first round matchups, there are some not surprises, some not mismatches, but I mean, not surprising that Edmonton gets overpassed. LA, Nashville getting over, or Vancouver getting over Nashville, not really surprised how eventually that worked out. So, again, it just, but yeah, I think it's Edmonton really setting up well for Edmonton. I think Edmonton's style of play is going to be really tough for Vancouver, especially if Demko continues to be out and they do go with a guy like Seelovs, who, yes, or even DeSmith, if they go into that round, because it's still, yes, they got a round under them and stuff, but now they're going to play an Oilers team that, you talk about it, I talked about Vegas being motivated last year to win. You talk about a team that is motivated to the extreme to finally win a cup. It's this Oilers team. I mean, they've been close a couple of years now, and they feel like this is their opportunity to really take it this year. And they don't want any team to stop them in the way. And I think that's going to bode against a Vancouver team that's still, you know, they haven't been in for a while. They're still kind of, you know, figuring out. And then you got a real experienced team in Edmonton. It's gonna bode. I think it's gonna bode trouble for Vancouver in this series. I think it sets up for Edmonton to get to the Western Final, then either Colorado or Dallas. And it's, I think, with Vegas out of the picture, I think it really sets up well for. Now, had Vegas had played Edmonton in the first round, that would have been interesting. Maybe Vegas might have been able to get through and take care of Edmonton in that first round. Edmonton's a really good team this year too, but I think Edmonton's path has certainly cleared up a little bit to make that run that they want to make to all the way to the final. So we'll see. But I think Edmonton's got the upper advantage in this series coming up with Vancouver.
Two things to keep an eye on. Edmonton finally has some goaltending, which has been their Achilles heel for a number of years. So that might be the key. And the other thing is that the two Canadian teams that are left are going to play each other in the conference semifinals. So before you get to the Western Conference, you're only going to have one Canadian team left. It's going to be interesting. You know how long it's been since the Canadian team has won the Cup. And now there are two teams that are left are going to play each other in this round, albeit the second round. So,
but that also guarantees that one will still be alive in the Western Conference final too, that there'll still be a Canadian team when you get to round number three.
Yep, definitely does. But quickly on the other side of the bracket, the eastern side, Florida gets by Tampa rather easily, I would say. Just the opposite for Boston and Montreal. The Rangers get by the Capitals.
That was easy.
That was pretty easy. And the Hurricanes get by the Islanders.
That was pretty easy, too.
Yeah, it's the only one that was really a battle was Toronto and Boston.
And that didn't look like it was starting off that way, but...
No, it sure did.
But
sure
then
didn't.
We should have known better from Dallas's recent history that they... especially when these two teams play, that these series always tend to end up going seven games. Some, you maybe don't know exactly how it will get there, but it somehow always seems like it's going to go to seven, which then you look at the history of that, you like certainly favors Boston because they certainly... will do well against Toronto in that situation. But then you also, there was a lot of on Boston because they had a 3-1 series lead last year and lost it to Florida. And this, and that was when Boston had a really good, they were the number one team in the overall NHL and President's Trophy winners, which maybe it's better not to be the President's Trophy's winner because not this year, they're not that. And they got past their first round series. But then you have Toronto who's, you know, it's an interesting thing, but Boston had Boston lost to Toronto. That'd be 2 years in a row that a team with a 3-1 series lead has blown it, and which would have been a first for the NHL. And I believe for all the four North American sports that have, or the sports that have three best of seven series, the NBA, the MLB, and those leagues. And so, because it's very, very unusual that a team blows a 3-1 lead in general, and to have to do it 2 years in a row. Would have been tough, and as good as Jim Montgomery might have done there, it might have cost him his job there. On the flip side of that, Toronto, who hasn't had a lot of playoff success lately, you talk about, you know, Vegas getting a cup last year in their sixth season. How about Toronto's been around for a while? They haven't won a cup since 1967, I believe. So it's been a while for them, and to not even get out of the first round has been rare.
Right.
They did that last year for like the first time in like 20 years or something. It has been a while. But they have really good regular seasons, but they just can't seem to, you know, and they had Austin Matthews wasn't playing for some of that series, and some of their stars like Nylander maybe didn't show up at times, but they almost were able to do it, but Boston moves on, and Toronto probably going to, some changes there probably coming, including maybe to their coach, I'm sure, is going to be on the horizon there. But yeah, for the Bruins, they are still alive, and they get a rematch with Florida. They talk about the team that beat them last year, went up after being up 3-1. They're going to get a chance to redeem themselves against the Florida Panthers, who a lot of people have winning the whole thing because Florida looks really strong. Obviously went to the Cup last year as kind of an underdog. This year, one of the favorites and a really good team. And they're going to match up with Boston. And yeah, and then the Rangers and Carolina should be a good battle too, is high expectations for both those teams to win the Cup. So
Well, same old in one regard, goaltending. If you've got good goaltending, you're usually set up for a deep run in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you look at the teams that are left, there's a lot of great goaltenders. I would say the one team that's a little suspect, or two teams actually, are in the West. I think Colorado is not settled really on a goaltender. And I think Vancouver, as you mentioned, been going through some, you know, some injury things up and down with their goaltenders. So I would say in round two, advantage teams with really solid goaltending, and that would be Florida, that would be Dallas, that would be Boston, that would be the Rangers. The Oilers, I'm not so sure. And same thing on
Dallas,
the Hurricanes. I'm just not sure on the Hurricanes if they've got enough in net to get it done. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, speaking of goaltending, I mean, how do you not like after a, whether you like the team or not, how do you not smile after a Bruins win when the two goaltenders hug each other like they do, Swayman and Ullmark? I mean, that just always makes you kind of smile. I mean, these are two guys who just love playing with one another, love playing with each other, and they both get equal time. I mean, that was also the thing with the Bruins is this, it worked so well alternating that they stuck to it. They didn't play a goalie more than a couple, you know, they would go one guy and then they'd go the other guy and back and forth the whole year. And
that's certainly rare.
And in the playoffs, you certainly don't do that. And I think they did that, or they got away from that last year. They decided to go with one guy and ended up costing them. This year, they got away from it a little bit when they decided to go with Swayman more, I believe, over Ullmark, and it worked out. But what that does is one goaltender is not overtaxed. You know, more if they haven't played a majority of the game, so it's maybe there's a little bit more.
Well, there's two schools of thought on that. He's not overtaxed, but is he sharp?
Yeah,
because that can be the problem as well. So. Anyway, that's the NHL side of things. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to dive into the AHL Pacific Division. It's gotten crazy, Stephen. Absolutely crazy.
You're going to be busy. Now I get to kind of lay back and just be a spectator now and enjoy the.
No, you don't. You're going to be going to work too. So
well, stop but it. Yeah, but I don't have to be at games and be at practices. I can just kind of from afar and be following it from afar while you're in the grind of the two California teams there in the Calder Cup playoffs.
Well, they're still going. We'll get into that in just a minute.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
The St. Louis Sports Commission invites you to become part of the legacy of the heartland of hockey as they and the city of St. Louis host 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships. From the Stanley Cup to college champions to an exploding youth hockey community, St. Louis hockey has a long storied tradition. Find out how you can be a part of it by visiting us at www.stlsports.org. The St. Louis Sports Commission, making St. Louis a better place to live, visit, work, or play through sports. When you talk about the best of Las Vegas, you're talking about the best of the best. So when you're at Jesse Ray's Barbecue and you're a three-time winner of the Best of Las Vegas Award, it speaks for itself. At 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, come and savor our People's Choice Award-winning barbecue ribs. Or maybe just come in and pick up a bottle of our best in Las Vegas barbecue sauce to take home. Open 7 days a week, you can order online at jessierayesbarbecue.com. And for an occasion that will be remembered for a long time, call us for all of your catering projects at Jesse Ray's Barbecue today.
From ITHSW Podcasts, this is the Pro Hockey West Report.
Indeed, it is the Pro Hockey West Report. Scott Strandy with you tonight from Ontario, California. My co-host, as always, Stephen Marsh, joining me from that big, beautiful, vibrant city of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's still a championship city. You can't take away the cup. Once you've earned it, you've earned it. It's just not that they're the reigning champs at the moment. But
I thought it was was funny, the well, maybe it's not so funny, but the Stanley Cup X account put out after Vegas got eliminated. It said, what did it say here? It said, what happens here, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for the Stanley Cup or something. It says, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for me. Thank you for all the memories, Golden Knights. And what some, and certainly some great memories the last year with the summer that the tour it takes, and that's always fun. And this year it'll be a new team and those players that will get to enjoy it and get to have that, that have that moment. So that's always cool. And just a personal aside, just being in that, being so close to that last year and just seeing that run and being, not that it was about me, but we talked about when we did those Instagram and stuff, it was such a great ride and stuff and those players to get that. So that's always cool when a team does win and gets that moment. So whoever gets it this year, it's going to be well-earned and hopefully they will enjoy, which I know they will.
Okay, before we jump into the American Hockey League Pacific Division, one final thing. Do you know what is happening on Tuesday night, Stephen Marsh?
Well, there'll be some round two games taking place. Will not be a Golden Knights game. I know there's more. The so-called Utah lottery team might get the number one draft pick.
The draft lottery is happening.
The Celebrini sweepstakes. McElhinney. That's right. Well, what's his name? Yeah. Macklin Celebrini.
Macklin Celebrini, also calling it the Macklin Celebrini celebration. So that's kind of a mouthful, but. Anyway,
last year with the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, this year it's the Macklin Celebrini celebration.
Yeah, I like it. Anyway, so that'll be happening on Tuesday. We'll know the draft order, at least the start of it. And then things will move on.
How cool would it be to see the Utah team get it? I think they have a small chance of getting the one pick, I think. So
yeah, the Ducks also said they have 11.5% chance. So.
Well, we saw how that worked out for them last year.
And we all know where they're going. He's going to Chicago.
Chicago's going to win the sweepstakes, right?
Of course. They're going to have the, and they'll probably win the next year too when it's James Hagen's.
No, but I think they changed that, right? I don't think you can have it more than 2 years in a row now, right? Is that a thing, right?
That's a good question.
That's one thing. I think that's why it kind of went to a draft lottery thing because – you know, the Oilers were kind of had the 3 years. Now, you know, we're seeing it now with the guys that they have. But I think it avoids teams purposely tanking, right? So they would get the number one pick every year. And I think that's why they put the draft lottery in, because that way the team just doesn't guarantee that they're going to get the number one pick by being the worst team, because then that would be some team who may not try to win and tank. And I think also that. And I don't know this for sure, but somebody was telling me this. I think you can't get the number one pick 3 years in a row. I think that is a
problem. Okay. Well, that may be the case. But anyway, if there's a way, Chicago will find out. Anyway.
But yeah, Chicago certainly has only got it 1 year in a row, so they could get it again the second year in a row. So
anyway,
I do know where the draft is going to be though. So even though Vegas is not going to be in the final, there'll be some NHL events happening in Vegas in late June. Still going on.
There's still the awards, right? The awards happens every year there. And
no, the awards. I think the awards. They moved it. They changed.
Did
that.
They move? Was,
I think they. I think last year they did it in Nashville, where the draft was. But I think during COVID and stuff, I think it was just they didn't have an award show. I think it was just wherever the you know, they just announced it during the show. But I think then 1 year they did it in the city of. What the final, wherever the final was, they just had an awards ceremony during the final in whatever one of the cities, I think. But last year it was in the where the NHL awards are. So I think since the draft is in Vegas, I think the awards would be in Vegas, I believe, unless they just decide just to do it a different way. But this is also the last year that the draft is going to be in a centralized place where all the teams and the personnel come to one location and do a draft and be on location.
And that's sad, by the way. That's really sad because I think that's a great time when, you know, players get celebrated, teams come together, a lot of draft things and trades happen at that point. So.
And I think probably what started that was during the pandemic when there was a virtual draft and the teams were just kind of in their locations and just kind of did it that way. I don't know, this will be for off, but I don't know if the if there's still going to be a location where players will go. Like the NFL draft is kind of that way. I mean, the NFL draft is such a big event. Obviously, the NFL makes that a big deal. But it's still, I mean, it's still a city hosts it. But the team people are still in their cities, in their war rooms, in their cities doing the picks there. And then the commissioner comes out and announces the pick. And some of the players are there. Some decide to stay where they are and have parties elsewhere. So I don't know if that's the way it's going to go, where it'll still be a place that will have a location and where people can go and be called. But I just think for the team and the personnel and all the GMs and everybody to be in one location, I think that's going away. But I don't know what that means for what they're going to do with it in general, what it'll look like.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now we've rambled on almost 35 minutes about the NHL. It's time to talk AHL. Two big series happening right here in Southern California. Well, one of them has started in Calgary. It's coming back to Southern California. But the Ontario Reign, I'm telling you, this team is a team of destiny. If it ends up being Ontario and Coachella Valley, I believe it will be one of the biggest boosts for hockey in Southern California, because these two teams are really, really good. Not to take anything away from Abbotsford and Calgary, but boy, oh boy, these are a couple of heavyweights, so to speak. I've been close to Ontario, obviously, this year, and also to Coachella Valley. But Coachella Valley had 11 days off. Then they went to start their series in Calgary, which, by the way, they earned a split tonight. So they come back. Wednesday night's game will be the first in Coachella Valley, the first playoff game. The first game in about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Well, and the first playoff game since they lost game 7 in overtime in the Calder Cup Finals to Hershey's. So
yeah. So there will be a lot of excitement on Wednesday night. I'll be there Wednesday and definitely Friday, because it'll definitely go 4 games, maybe 5 if that is. It'll be Sunday afternoon at, I believe, 3 o'clock.
There you go, 3 p.m. start, your favorite time.
Yeah, in the meantime, the Ontario Reign, because of their building restrictions, had to open at home. They played a game on Wednesday.
We talked about that last week. So it was building restrictions that forced them to start at home.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's graduations and concerts that are already pre-booked ahead of time, and they take precedence. So not only was it kind of funky because it was a Wednesday-Sunday matchup, and now they're going to go back to that traditional Wednesday-Friday-Saturday. But as far as Southern California goes, Coachella now gets these three games at home, and Ontario will go on the road. The difference is Ontario has a 2-0 lead in the series, and the body language that I got from Abbotsford tonight is they're going to have to lean really hard on their fans because they looked exhausted. They looked beat. Yeah, remember, they were on the road in Colorado for 3 games. Then they came back to Southern California. Now they've been here a week, and I think it's taken their toll. I was thinking tonight, Stephen, when I saw the Coachella Valley score when they were behind 2 or 3 to 1, I was going like, you know what? I think I would have thrown that game plan out, Dan Bylsma, and I would have made Calgary stay on the road because they got home and got rested, got some momentum, and they got a great goaltender. But this is I don't know. It worked out okay because they won today in overtime, and that's all the goal was to go up there and win one and then really have home ice be your friend down the stretch. So anyway, that's coming on. I was in Ontario today. Just your thoughts on what you saw from afar between Ontario and Abbotsford.
Well, I think it played out exactly we talked about it last week when we were previewing these series and the situations that both these teams were coming into. And, you know, with these series and the way they were stacking up, whether you're starting at home and having to go on the road or starting on the road and having to have the 3 games at home. And I think we talked about it. I said, if you're Ontario, you know, starting at home, it's an opportunity for you to go up 2-0. They've been a really good home team for a lot of the season. And to really rely on their fans that can be loud and rowdy. And I'm sure on Cinco de Mayo today, they were just in a really good mood and stuff. And then you go to
Abbotsford. It was a great crowd. It was a great crowd, by the way.
Having to go to Abbotsford and only having to win one, having 3 tries to just win 1 game. On the other side of it, you had Coachella Valley, who decided to start in Calgary and then have the back end three games at home. And we said going into that series, I think if you get the split, you're happy with that, because then you come home basically with just a three-game series and you just make it a three best of three with all three games in your home rink. And we both kind of alluded to if Coachella Valley was going to be rust, why not get it out of the way in a road game, get the rust game out while you're on the road, then come back and try to win that second road game and split, and then you're kind of back in your groove as you're going home, instead of wasting one of only two games you were going to have at home, potentially rust and have Calgary steal it, and then having to win at home just to split, and then having to go on the road to win Calgary, which Coachella Valley could have very well been comfortable enough doing, but I think they want to have those fans behind them when the series really gets into it. So in both cases, it worked out how I think we said it would be the best case scenario for both teams. Ontario winning the two games at home, they did that. Coachella Valley splitting with Calgary, getting that, if there was any sort of rust and shake off the cobwebs game, that first game, they got that out of the way. And now they come home with a chance with it being 1-1 with the three games now just on their home ice in front of their fans. So it worked out both best case scenario for both teams.
Okay, so let's talk about the Ontario Reign game. I've got some sound. Brant Clark, who pretty much an NHLer right now, but just getting some seasoning in the playoffs to prepare himself for the Kings next year. But here's some stuff from Brant Clark.
What's got into you of late? You really feisty?
I don't think that's changed. I would like to rise to the occasion. People are going to help me, and then I'm going to go back to them. I think that's always been part of my game, and people are starting to see more of that. And I don't think it should catch people off guard anymore. It's just kind of who I am. It's who I've always been. But yeah, big games. They rile you up, and I always try to rise to the occasion.
Was there anything during the regular season that you saw against either of the two opponents you guys have played in the playoffs yet that you think carry over, or did you see them as a complete reset heading into the playoffs?
Bakersfield more so than these guys. I think we played Bakersfield a lot near the end of the season. You know, those were some passionate games. They got a couple on us too, and that's a passionate game, and you know, those are quick series, so you know, there was a the feistiness there. This one just kind of ramped up gradually. We didn't really play them. I didn't play them since I came back down with the rain, and that's playoff hockey. You know, whoever it is, you know, they want to win so bad, we want to win so bad. So that's just the nature of the beast, kind of.
Chris Hite, Sean O'Donnell, you know, Yanni, a lot of different guys that you can tap into. Who's really helped you the most over the last couple of months here?
Oh, I don't think I can nail down one guy. I've had such a good support system, top to bottom. You know, Greener, OD, you know, they've been on the ice with me a bunch. You know, they've been talking to me a bunch, texting me a bunch, but making me feel good about myself. Hyder's been phenomenal. We do video almost every day. You know, I hear from Trent and Rob all the time. You know, just let me know how I'm doing, let me know stuff to work on, stuff like that. So, yeah, it means a lot that, so many people are trying to help me out. So, it's been good.
Marco told us the other night while talking about you and Hicks, the way that you played these last few games defensively has reminded him of Drew Doughty. What does that mean to you when you hear something like that?
Obviously, I mean, it's a lot. You know, he's the best in the world at doing stuff like that for 10 plus years. So, I just, I like to watch him a lot too. So I just try to kind of bring the same energy as he does. You know, he's the loudest guy in the room every day. I've seen that up close many times. So it's, that means a lot. If I can
it seemed like this game, the tempers were kind of boiling throughout. How did you guys try to keep your composure all the way to the end to see the win through?
I think we have a good group. I think we've done that a lot this year. You know, even go back to that last game against Bakersfield, it was 1-1. It was kind of back and forth in the third, but we just kept pressing until we got that last one, and that was the nail in the coffin. So kind of same thing here. We just want to play an even keel 60 minutes. We don't want to get too high, we don't want to get too low. And especially when we have ports, they want us out when he needs to. That means a little to us. So it's been a good round.
Has he been getting stronger as the playoffs have gone on?
He has, 100%. Yeah, there was, we didn't have Deller going into the start of the playoffs. And, they kind of alternated games near the end there. So it was like, how's he going to do, with all these consecutive starts? And he's actually gotten, better, improving. And, these guys don't know how to beat him right now. So it's pretty remarkable. And,
pucks on your stick late in the game. I know you're probably trying to shoot for the empty net, but did you see that Mads might win that race if you miss?
I knew we had guys going. I knew we could beat out the icing. Mads was already kind of leaking at the blue line. And Yeah, I was trying to go for that, but you know, it was close, and you know, he picked it off, and he made a great move on the D-man with the back end there, so that was fantastic.
Brent, what do you take away with playing a guy like Joe Hicketts next year? He's a warrior. He just battles through everything.
Yeah, he's the best. Yeah, I'm lucky to play with him. You know, he's so smart. He's so loud. It makes me laugh on the bench sometimes. But he's been great, and you know, he's so smart with the puck. Knows how to find the open guy, headman the puck so well. So you play with a guy with so much poise like that, and just always in the right spot. It helps you out a lot.
Wait a minute. He's loud and he's making you laugh. Isn't he usually the other way around?
Yeah, he's taking it to a whole other level. He's one of a kind. So I got to tip the cap there.
Fair.
You guys go deeper into the playoffs. Are you guys find yourself becoming more comfortable with each other and more comfortable in these big games?
I think so. Yeah, I think I don't want to say we didn't believe at the start, but there's a continued growth of confidence in our group. So we're feeling really good about ourselves. Every passing game, we can really do this. And like I said, especially with Ford saving our asses back there, we feel really good about ourselves right now, and really good about where we're going.
All right, Steven, there it is. That's Brent Clark, who's an NHLer, let's face it. He's already gotten his feet wet a little bit. They're already comparing him to Drew Doughty and guys like that. So this is kind of his opportunity to play under pressure, if you will, and hopefully be in the lineup for the Kings next year.
Yeah, I think there's no question that Brent Clark will be with the Kings on a more regular basis coming up in the future. I believe he had stints of it this season, or even where he was up with the.
Yeah, he had quite a few stints.
A few stints, yes.
From the All-Star game on, he's pretty much been an NHLer. So interesting to see that. I think he's one of the guys, talent-wise, that's leaving this group, but there's so much experience. And I told Marco Sturm, the head coach, this last Wednesday night. I said, your team has experience. It has matured over the year. Last Wednesday night, they played with a lot of patience. Tonight, I told Marco, well, you're going to hear it. Let me hear it. But here's what Marco, I told him and what he told me back.
Shoot for our hockey team.
Marco, the other night, I told you patience was the word of the game for me. Tonight, I thought it was discipline. Your thoughts on the discipline that you guys showed tonight?
Probably more in the third than the first two periods, but no, you know, I reminded them, Bakersfield third period, last game third period, that were one of our best periods, you know, in the playoffs, so, and we wanted to do it again today, and I think we did. You know, we didn't give up much, probably got lucky on Andre's goal there, but, you know, but we didn't give up much, so.
Steven Santini and Taylor Ward, give me your thoughts on their game tonight.
No, Stevie, he's playing really strong. He took it to another level, I think, in the playoffs. And Wardo, I think he too. He's a battler. He reminds me a little bit of Toffoli a little bit. He's really good on the ball, and you know, I trust him, and he's doing a good job.
So there you go. Discipline was the word tonight. The Abbotsford team was getting a little bit under the skin, if you will, of Ontario. They wanted to push the envelope a little bit because they weren't able to get pucks past Portillo.
Well, I think they were frustration, right? And
yeah,
I mean, the last 3 minutes of the game, you have two misconduct penalties, one for Abbotsford, one for Ontario. Akito Hirose and Samuel Helenius get 10-minute misconducts. And then at 19:04, more action with Darship Deep Baines and Sheldon Dries and Brent Clark and Hicketts all getting roughings. And then at the 20-minute mark, a couple more penalties were doled out. So you look at that, it's in the last 3 minutes of the – it was really not a lot of penalties in the game up until that point. I mean, Abbotsford was 0-for-3 in the power play, Ontario 1-for-2, but then – that last 3 minutes, 2, 10, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, 32, 34, 36, 38, doing quick addition of my 38 penalty minutes between the two teams, just in that last 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and that was, the game was decided. You know, it was just a matter of frustration coming out. And the discipline I'm talking about is that there was a lot of hacking, slapping, yapping going on. And the Ontario Reign didn't bite. Maybe last year, maybe the year before. Maybe they bought on some of that and took some stupid penalties. Well, they didn't do that. You heard Marco say that he reminded the guys how to close out a game. He told me that Wednesday night too. He said, "You know, I want the guys to know how to close out games." Well, they're certainly closing them out. And what did I just say in the NHL? If you've got a great goaltender, you've got a chance. Well, Eric Portillo, he told me straight up. He said, "I want to be an NHLer next year." So he's trying to prove that he's NHL quality. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be with the Kings next year, no doubt about it.
Well, I know he's in the Kings organization, but this could be good branding for Portillo's in Chicago. with that kind of last name. But
Get some hot dogs.
Yeah, get some, yeah.
And they're all over, by the way. They're not just in Chicago. They're all over. But anyway.
He has been great. I mean, 23 of 24 saves in Wednesday's game. He only gives up one goal in Wednesday's game, a 3-1 win, and then today, only four nothing game. So doesn't give up anything in his action. On the other side, you have Savchenko, who probably wasn't even expecting to be the goaltender that would even be playing in these games when the playoffs started. But Abbotsford losing, I believe both are regular goaltenders to Vancouver, especially Seelofs, who have been great with the Canucks through a lot of the year, but he's up with the Vancouver Canucks, which is great for him. Obviously, that's a better situation for him. He gets to play a Stanley Cup playoff game. Certainly, that tops playing in, as much as we love the AHL and the Calder Cup playoffs. Certainly, if you get a chance to be the guy in that in the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's great for him. But for the Canucks, Abbotsford, they've had to go with Savchenko. He was in net for all those games against Colorado, I believe. Was he in all those three games for Colorado, the Colorado series? Either way, there was a couple overtime in those games.
And yeah, I believe he was.
I just wasn't sure if Seelofs got it. No, but I think the call up happened just before that series was starting. So I was just trying to remember if Seelofs even played any of these games to start the series before he got called up. But I don't think he did. I think Savchenko has been the goaltender for all those games in the last series, which a couple of those went to overtime, and then he had now he's played these two games in this series, and it's kind of wearing on him a little bit. I think you're right, because they had to go from playing in Colorado, then they go to California, but now they get to go home. And
let's not forget that playing in Colorado is playing at altitude. That wears on you.
Yes.
Three games, three difficult games, then you come back to California.
With cowbells ringing in the whole time, yes, it could be quite the
So anyway, that leaves Ontario with a 2-0 series lead and headed off to Abbotsford.
And you mentioned the crowd, 7,153 was the official attendance.
Crazy. It was crazy
game.
Good in there tonight. That was fun to see. Yes. Normally I judge the crowd by, can I find a front row seat on the glass to take pictures from? Because there's only two cutouts. Today there were five photographers. But there were no front row seats to take today. So
you had to sit up from the press box, huh?
For a little bit, but I did get to shoot from behind the goal, which was kind of fun. That was one of my favorite areas to shoot from, because you really get to see not only the play of the goaltender, but the speed as the guys are coming into the zone and leaving the zone. So that was fun. Anyway, so they'll go off for Wednesday, Friday, if necessary, and Sunday, if necessary. Meanwhile, in Calgary, the Coachella Valley Firebirds finally got a chance to play some playoff hockey. You mentioned it earlier. The last time they played playoff hockey was Game 7 of the Calder Cup Final, overtime of Game 7. So they haven't even touched the puck in 11 days in a real game. And all of a sudden they get to start things up Friday night in Calgary, and then this afternoon. And the goal of Dan Bylsma has always been, let's go on the road, let's get the bugs worked out, and let's try to get one, and then let's come home and try to do our thing here. Well, last year, Stephen, that wasn't their choice. That was forced on them by Calgary, basically.
Right,
and it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that these two teams are meeting up again this year, and it's flipped. This year, Coachella comes into this series as the number one seed. and has that option playing in Calgary, who came into the playoffs as the last team in, so to speak, the seventh seed, and had an upset in their first round series to even be able to keep playing and play Coachella Valley. And last year it was Calgary that was the top seed and had to play. They eventually played Coachella Valley, which was the two seed, so they didn't play until later in the playoffs. But the two teams did end up playing each other. And yeah, Calgary had that option last year, or maybe it was building conflicts for them that forced them to do it that way. But
yeah, that's what it was last year
in Calgary's case. So they had to start in Calgary and go to Coachella Valley, and it worked out in Coachella Valley's favor. But Coachella Valley remembered that from last year, I think, and I realized, hey, let's go in there and we'll start on the road and then we'll come home. And as I said earlier, I think they probably expected that there would be some rust because they hadn't played, as you said, in 11 days or so. So they can go in there, and if they're going to have a bad game, they lose that first game, hey, let's let it lose a road game where most likely you're going to lose more road games anyway. So get that out of the way, and then hopefully we can go back the next game and steal a game in the next game and split, and then come home and have the three games. And that certainly worked out. Of course, Dustin Wolf was doing Dustin Wolf things, in the first game there, and they were able to crack him a little bit more today in the second game. So that bodes well. But Firebirds should be familiar with them because they played him last year in the playoffs. So I think there's familiarity.
Well, and they played him a ton during the regular season, too, obviously. During the regular season,
for sure. Because Wolf, even though Wolf spent time up in Calgary this year, well, I should preface that Calgary, there's Calgary and Calgary. The spent time with the Flames, so the NHL, he was still majority in the AHL for the season. So, again, Dustin Wolf is fantastic, but everybody can be beat, and the Firebirds certainly know that for sure, and have done it before, and they did it in game two.
Well, here's the interesting thing. It's been a really playoff style hockey for the first two periods of both games. Tonight or this afternoon, Cole Lynn gets the only goal of the first two periods late, 16:21 of the first of the second period for Coachella to have a 1-0 lead. And then the third period is where things seem to open up. The first game, it was empty net goals, two of them, that lopsided the score a little bit. But today it was Calgary quickly getting two goals, one from Cole Schwint, one from Sam Morton. Then Andrew Podolarski gets it tied back up again midway through. And then Cole Schwint gets his second of the game and gives Calgary the lead, only to have Max McCormick come back. You'll get the theme here. The veterans, Andrew Podolarski, Max McCormick, Cole Lynn, Devin Shore, who got the ultimate game winner in overtime. They're taking control, as you would expect, in playoff series. They understand the game. They understand the playoffs. I think if Dan Byles was a little upset, it's probably about maybe a little bit of undisciplined play yesterday or Friday and today. Taking a few too many penalties, but they got it under control. They got the split. Now they come back for a Wednesday night matchup at Acrisure Arena, which I think will have them in control. I think they'll be more in control, and it may take a little bit of starch, if you will, out of the play of Calgary. Keep in mind, Calgary's been running around, as I said. They played two games down in Tucson. Then they had to go all the way back to Calgary, get prepared, play two games there. Now they got to come back to California again. Meanwhile, the guys from Coachella Valley have just been sitting around waiting for something to happen. So I think it's going to be a really fun series. My heart tells me, and my heart is hoping, that this is going to be a Southern California and I-10 matchup. But there's still games to be played. I think both teams now have shifted to the – both California teams have shifted to the driver's seat, certainly Ontario, which will probably get it done on Wednesday night. And I think Coachella will also get it done probably Friday night. But anyway, that's my prediction. Well, so your thoughts on Coachella?
That's why they got to still play the games. I remember sending you a message when the Golden Knights won their second game on the road in Dallas, and they're up 2. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. Well, they're going to, this could be, this might be an easy series. And then, of course, we see what happens. You told me to be careful. So I should have learned that. But yeah, no, it's certainly setting up great for both these teams, but you're right. We still got to play the games. I mean, Coachella Valley still has to win at home, which they can do, but they still got to go out there and play. And you know, they're going to be juiced up at home, and Calgary will be the road team. We'll won't have that. They won't have to worry about trying to perform in front of their home fans. So they'll be loose and ready to go, I would think. And Calgary could be more than capable of going in there and winning a game in or two.
And here's the difference, though. Because they got a split, they come back now tied at 1-1. So in Coachella Valley's mind, they're going like, hey, we just have to win 2 out of 3.
Right.
And we win the series. On the other hand, for Ontario, going to Abbotsford, they're up 2. So now Abbotsford's going like, the only way we're advancing is to win 3 in a row.
Which is
going to
be very tough.
That's extremely difficult.
That's going to be extremely difficult, yes. That's like,
so I think
that's like the equivalent of being up 3-0 in a series and having to win 4 straight in a best of 7. This is the
correct.
You're up 2-0 in a best of 5, and now you got to win 3 straight. Not as improbable maybe as a coming back from an 0-3 best of 7 series, but it's certainly three straight against an AHL team, having to do it all now away. Or the benefit, I guess, for Abbotsford, the one benefit for them is they do get the games at home, so they will have those 3 games at home. They won't have to go back to Ontario.
But let me counter that. Go ahead. They're coming back to Abbotsford pretty beaten down.
Yeah.
Physically and mentally because they know their backs are against the wall. They lose Wednesday night, it's all over. If they win Wednesday night, they have to play Friday night.
And
if they lose that, it's all over.
But if then they win Friday night, then they still got to win another one.
Exactly.
No,
so
I get it. No, I'm with you there. I think it's tough. But I just want to point out that it's not like you're having to go. You lose 2 at home, and now you have to win. If they have a chance, because there's always a chance, right? Maybe it's a small chance, is that they do get the games on home ice, and they'll have that benefit. But you're right, though. I think everything you said is accurate. I think it is going to be very tough for them. So I think out of the two series that still have the potential, you know, you look at Coachella Valley, and you look at Abbotsford, and I think both are in interesting situations for different reasons. But I think if there's a chance for any team to come back in a series, it's more likely. So I think it's both going to be difficult in either circumstance, but it's more likely to see Calgary maybe be able to still beat Coachella Valley in that series than it would be for Abbotsford to beat Ontario in their series.
Yeah, totally agree.
I don't think either happens. I think both Southern California teams do advance, but out of the two possibilities, I think there's still more of a possibility that Calgary can win 2 out of 3 in Coachella Valley than it would be for Abbotsford having to win all 3 games on home ice.
Well, here's the guarantee that I will make. When we do the show next Sunday night, we'll know who's in the Pacific Division Finals because the games are Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, if necessary. 3 in Coachella, 3 in Abbotsford. I really think, though, that Ontario has learned and matured on how to win. I really don't think it's going to go to a fourth game. I think it's over. Abbotsford's going in there with as you already mentioned, their goaltending situation. And they're going to be playing with a lot of emotion because they're playing at home. But I just think when the bottom line of it is, it's just when your back is against the wall and you're tired and you've been beaten down physically and emotionally, it's really hard to pick it up and win 3 in a row. So
yeah, but they get a couple of days now, and they're going to be at home. They're going to probably be juiced up. They'll be in front of their home fans. I think they can win that next game. I think they can win Wednesday, but then can they follow it up and continue that for a second straight night? And you know, Ontario will adjust, you know, and stuff, and they'll get situated in a road environment. And so I don't know if it'll be a sweep, but I do think it won't go the 5 games. So I would think that maybe Ontario can win it in 4. I think Abbotsford still has enough to be able to have that juice behind their home crowd, find some energy and beat Ontario, who maybe will sit back a little bit because they'll be up 2-0. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, I don't think that's a possibility.
Let me tell you from my side of it.
Yeah, because you're right there. You're closer to the teams now because you're there.
I think if this is last year's Ontario team, they lose game 3 and they win game 4 or 5. But I think
you just think it's that much of a mismatch, huh?
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, you see them on the ice, and it's like, I mean, tonight's game was 4-0, but it wasn't even that close. It could have been 6-0. They got great goaltending. They got great experience. They have great maturity. And I think Marco Sturm is just like I say with Dan Bylsma, he's the perfect coach for this group because he told me, I'm teaching them how to win. And he said that a lot of our guys needed to learn how to win, how to close out games. And don't be a bit surprised if you hear him say that a lot over the next couple of days, because he knows you don't want to give a team a chance, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to make it a 2-1 series.
No, they want to
close it out as soon as you can. And I heard some of the guys, not the players, but some of the media people and stuff that go up with that will be going up there with the team, going like, yeah, you know, we got 3 flights planned. One on after Wednesday, one after Friday, and one on Sunday. So they're prepared. They're prepared to fly back at any time. So I think they would like to get up there, get it done, and get back home, and then sit around the rest of the week and get their wounds healed a little bit before they have to battle either Calgary or Coachella. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Especially if it ends up being Coachella, because Coachella hasn't had to play as many games. So they might have a little bit less of that, but I think Calgary will put up a reasonable fight, and we know Coachella Valley's history last year with all series that they played. They eventually prevailed in all, well, except for the Calder Cup Finals, but all the series leading up to the Calder Cup, they had to play the maximum number of games in the series. So I think that obviously this series is split after 2 games, so it's very likely that it could go 5, and I would think that the Firebirds would eventually prevail, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes 5, just because that tends to be the trend of how the series go with the Firebirds. So Ontario would then have a few more extra days of rest ahead of them before that series would begin. But either way, the next round, if it ends up being those 2 teams, the travel will be very, very minimal, as both teams are in Southern California and not that far
79
away.
79 miles, my 70, friend.
79
miles
away from each
down
other. So,
up and down. Anyway, I will be at the 3 games if necessary in Coachella, and then we'll kick it off.
Be ready for 3 games. I think all 3 games are going to be necessary.
I'll be ready for it, but I don't think it'll go up 4. I think it goes 4. I predicted earlier today that Coachella would win games 2, 3, and 4 and end it, and I believe that Ontario will finish it in game 3. So anyway, as usual, we've run way long. I'll let you take it away.
We try to keep these to an hour show, but we always...
Doesn't happen. All right, take it away.
It doesn't happen. So let's do this. First, this has been the Pro Hockey West Report, brought to you by Jets Pizza, with over 400 locations in 21 states. Find the location near you at jetspizza.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. Become a Caesars Rewards member and get the most out of every stay at Caesars Resort. By Toyota, support the dealers that support hockey in your community for your next car. Desert Toyota in Tucson, Peterson Toyota in Fort Collins, Toyota of the Desert in Cathedral City, California, and Finley Toyota in Las Vegas. Jesse Ray's Barbecue. Cater your next party or office lunch with the best of Las Vegas barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. T-Mobile. Get a new iPhone on us. Go to T-Mobile.com to find out how. FedEx, the official delivery company of IceTimeHockeyWest.com. The Pro Hockey West Report and all of the IceTime Hockey West podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app and is available at all of your favorite podcast platforms. Search ITHSW Podcast, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows. Help others find us. The Pro Hockey West Report is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Also want to add the plugs for our social media. Pro Hockey West Report on Instagram. Just Pro Hockey West Report on Instagram. Pretty easy there. And then at Pro Hockey _ West on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. At Pro Hockey _ West on X, and then Pro Hockey West Report on Instagram. Very easy, and we are trying to build those still, and you're putting stuff up as you're at the games and when I'm at stuff,
I'll keep you loaded this week, my friend. Just be ready for some stuff flying your way on the picture front.
Yeah, I have a lot of extra time on my hands now, so I'm ready for it.
Okay. All right, we'll say goodnight to little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers. De Niro, ask everybody to tune in again next Sunday night for the Pro Hockey
West. Even though the Golden Knights season's over with, my hibernation doesn't start yet. So
no, nope.
Not right. Until the draft, at least.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.